Parshat Chayesara, we have Eliezer standing by the well, making almost a deal with Ribbono Shel Olam. If he finds a certain qualities, girl who gives him to drink, offers the camels to drink, then this is the one you have proven to that I may know through her that you have done kindness with my master. This is the one designated for your servant, for Yitzchak. And it was when he had not yet finished speaking that suddenly Rivka was coming out, and the maiden was very fair, and the servant ran towards her and said, "Let me sip, if you please, a little water from your jug." She said, "Drink, my lord." She quickly lowered her jug to her hand and gave him to drink. And when she finished giving him to drink, she says, "I'll draw water even for your camels until they have finished drinking." So she hurried and emptied her jug into a trough and kept running to the well to draw water, and she drew for all his camels. The man was astonished at her reflecting silently, know whether Hashem had made his journey successful or not. And it was that when the camels had finished drinking, the man took a golden nose ring. The weight was a becca and 2 bracelets on her arm. 10 gold shekels was her weight. And he said, "Whose daughter are you? Is there room for your father's house for us to spend the night? I'm the daughter of Bethuel, and even straw and feed is plentiful. It's a well place to lodge." So the man bowed and prostrated himself to Hashem, and he said, "Blessed is Hashem, God of my master Avraham, who has not withheld his kindness and truth from my master." It's a story that's very well known, a story that we're all well aware of. And as Rav Rivlin points out so beautifully in his Sefer Parshiyos, you know, we've learned this story as kids. And in our mind, this whole story is taking, you know, maybe 5 minutes, as long as it took me to read all of this. When indeed, it took hours to feed all these 10 camels, this story is taking a long time. As Eliezer and his men are standing, watching this happening, you know, sitting under the tree, enjoying this, as she's going back and forth for hours, feeding these camels. I'd like to focus in on 2 questions today. One is a more broader question, one is a much more specific question. The broader question, which is a question of the Malbim, source number 3, So our question is, and this Rav Rivlin brings down, is why was this the test of chesed? Why didn't he test her in any other mitos? Whether she gets angry, whether, you know, there's a lot of mitos there. And further, she may be a balas chesed, but who says she has good values in amuna, in Yirat Shamayim? Like, is chesed the be-all and end-all? I mean, there are other things, like you want the future mother to be somebody who's going to be a maimin, a believer, a Yirat Hashem, Yirat Hashem Yititalal. So why was it that they only checked her in chesed and not in other midos? At the same time, the question also becomes, why chesed and not Yirat Shamayim and not in hashkafa? That's our first question. The second question, which is a more specific question, and this one has to just look at, and this is studying the words of the Chumash. So when Eliezer finishes his whole long speech, he says, and may I know through her that you have done kindness with my master. He focuses on it, if this girl indeed passes the test, you've done kindness. However, after the test is over, and Eliezer finds this girl, he thanks Hashem, this is the end, "Blessed is Hashem, God of my master Avraham, who has not withheld his kindness and truth from my master." And this is pointed out in source number 26, the Novovinska Rebbe. Eliezer adds the words emes, speaking of Hashem's truth as well. Later repeating the saga to Bethuel, he again says chesed ve'emes. What changed from going specifically looking for chesed, that now he thanks Hashem and notes that he found chesed ve'emes, emes being truth? What is this added component of truth? And it's this question that we're going to focus in on the 3 levels that we're going to answer our original question of why Dafka Chesed. So let's begin. The question of is obvious. Why does Avinu insist on taking a wife from Haran and not taking a wife from Bnei Kanaan? As a Rosh Weiss on the Parsha points out, Avram had tens of thousands of followers in Kanaan. These were the members of Avram's household and whose hearts he had planted the roots of faith. Could he have not chosen a bride for a son from among them? Which is also an obvious question. The Kleaka writes that Avram forbade his son to marry the daughters of Kanaan, lest he learn from their wicked ways. But Pasuel is no less an idolater than the Canaanites. What then did Avram gain by taking Pasuel's daughter as his son's bride? So Rav Asher Weiss points out in the Arrow, in fact, Avram had a different concern. Children tend to exhibit traits similar to those of their parents. For example, greed, lust, and similar character traits that are inherent in the human body. Since parents form their children's bodies, their physical traits are generally passed to their children. Obviously, the children can work on themselves, but it's going to take work. However, false ideologies depend on a person's conscious decision. Hashem grants each person a soul and powers of reason with to choose his own beliefs. Therefore, there is no reason to fear that false beliefs will be passed on from one generation to the next. Avram's beliefs will be passed on. Avraham rejected the Canaanites, who were steeped in lustful desire, in favor of Bethuel's family, since Bethuel's lone fault was idolatry, which would not necessarily transfer to his daughter. And he brings down here that Rav Yisrael Salanter would say it's easier to uproot a mountain than to uproot a character flaw. Therefore, Avram sent Eliezer to his homeland in search of a bride rather than taking one of the local daughters. The Birkas Mordechai Rav Mizrachi Zatzal echoes this idea and adds another component in source 5. And he says, HaChashashu mipnei achavui ba'omek nafsha. He says, sometimes you don't see it in the person themselves. They seem to be acting just fine. But it is a latent character flaw. And it's going to rear its head in future generations. And that's why Avraham Avinu says, I'm dealing here with genetics. I want to have the best genetic lottery possible. And that is not with people who, you know, the Hasidic word is, don't take someone from the Kanani Asher Anochi Yoshev Bikirbo, which literally means that I am sitting among them. A Hasidic pshat is Asher Anochi. The Anochi, the ego, the I, the egocentricity, is Yoshev Bikirbo, is sitting in its midst. I can't have with a bride that's going to be coming from such a family. And this is this is the focus of Avraham Avinu. Rav Asher Weiss continues, and he says, very fascinating. He says, we learn in Pirkei Avos, whoever exhibits the following three traits is a student of Avraham Avinu. Anyone exhibits the opposite three traits is a student of Bila Rasha, a generous eye, a contrite spirit, and a humble soul. And Rabbeinu Yonah explains that Avraham's students have many other precious qualities besides the three listed here. However, these three traits were the foundation of Avraham Avinu's philosophy and the central message he imparted to his followers. We see then that Avraham's message to the world was first and foremost one of character improvement. And it's interesting that Avraham Avinu, who taught them Torah, Avraham Avinu, who taught, you know, philosophy, and he was the Rosh HaMaminim, the first ones of believers. So obviously Avraham Avinu taught them about faith. But what was the focus of Avraham Avinu's yeshiva? It was about good character traits, the foundation of religious observance. And clearly, this is something they were working on. But again, as we spoke about, if this is part of you, it's going to come up in future generations unless you really uproot it. However, what we see here, what Rav Asher Weishlit is teaching us, is that for Avraham Avinu, what was first and foremost important in this bride was not the intellectual, you know, emuna b'Hashem. It was, are you a mensch? Is this where it's at? And it's interesting, Rabbeinu B'chayim, in Sefer Shmos, has a gewaldig vort. He says, if you take a look throughout the Chumash, when we speak about the great tzaddikim, and we bring them accolades. We never speak about their intellectual acuity. We say that Noach was an tzaddik, Avram Ohavi, Yaakov Ishtam, Moshe was an anav, was humble. We speak about them in terms of their character traits, not that they were the most brilliant person around. Why? Because in Torah philosophy and Torah mindset, and this is something that we really need to integrate into our educational system, is are you a mensch? Are you a person who's working on your mitos? The ability to learn and to know, that's a gift from God. What you do with yourself, that's your gift to God. And that's really what's important. And that's really what we're held accountable for. Not how much you've accomplished, how much you've worked on yourself and your inner mitos. That's really where the test of who a person really is. And that is what Avraham Avinu wanted in this wife for Yitzchak Avinu. So with this in mind, the Levi Eliyahu adds the following component. And he asked our question, it's very nice, she has good mitos, but what if she doesn't have Yirat Shemayim? So he offers a Yesod Gadol v'chiddush Nifla, an amazing novel idea. And he says, Mikol makom yesh lanu leida, the asterisk in 9. Ki adam sheyesh bo adinus hanefesh, a person who has a sensitivity of the soul, umidos tovos and good midos, av ki omeid b'matzav shadayin lo kana hayira, even if they haven't yet acquired fear of God, however, if they would understand that there is an obligation to acquire fear of Hashem, that a person of this qualities, a person of this adinus hanefesh, of this sensitivity, will go out and look for this. A person with good midos has the ability and the wherewithal and the foundation to build oneself and to reach all of these wonderful intellectual and spiritual ideas. It starts with a lev tov. It starts with a good heart. It starts with a person who understands and is sensitive to others, and it's working on that level of sensitivity. When you've reached that level, so then the emunah becomes secondary. You know, I don't know if it's an exact fit, but someone was telling me a story yesterday that was found in Hamotia. I didn't read the story, so I'm just hearing it from my friend who's encapsulating it, so I'm going to encapsulate the encapsulation of this story, but it very much reminds me of this, of a boy growing up in a typical Tel Aviv home. Mom's a doctor, father's a professor, he's in law school, and knows nothing about his Yiddishkeit, except that he's living in Israel. And he meets this Norwegian young lady, who's obviously not Jewish, in college, and he says to his mom, I met this wonderful young lady, and I plan on marrying her. And the mom sits her down in his office and says, let me tell you something, son. We are the descendants of somebody called Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu established something called the Jews. If you marry this girl, children will not be Jewish, and you are breaking this chain of thousands of years. You are not to marry her. And if you marry her, we will have nothing to do with you. And the boy was like so unimpressed. Like, you haven't spoken about this till now. What's the big deal? She's a great girl. I'm going to marry her. And he just ignores the mom's conversation. And he continues going out with this young lady. And at a certain point, the young lady says, you know, I think it's time I meet your parents. And he's trying to dodge her. And she said, no, I really want to, you know, meet your mom. So the mother says, I'm ready to meet with you, not in my house, I'll meet with you on the beach in Tel Aviv. And she gives her the same speech. We are from the blah, blah. And this is the nakuda here. She was taken by this speech. She understood. The mother has a point. And I respect what the mother is saying. And if this means something to so much to the mother, then goodbye, good luck. And she goes back and leaves him. And, you know, obviously he's totally broken. And the bottom line of the story is she then goes back and learns, you know, in her hometown, who is this Abraham? Who are the Jews? Is very taken by what she reads. Comes back to Eretz Yisrael to do a giyur, a conversion, and he finds out that she's back in Israel. Somebody tells him, I saw her, and he says, great, you're going to convert. We can now get married. She says, I'm not marrying a sheikhess like you. You don't keep Shabbos. You don't learn Torah. You know, it's not just about being from the descendants of our Avinu. It's about keeping the laws. Go, you know, sign yourself up in yeshiva for a little bit, and then we'll talk. And the writer of this article was saying that one of his relatives, Chavrusa, was the aide, was the witness under the chuppah at this wedding, where both of them came back to, one to Judaism, and one came back to his own forefathers, his own Yiddishkeit. But here again, this is what we see. The menschlichkeit of this girl. I respect what the mother says. That brought her to the Amunah, ultimately. That brought her to the truth. It starts with menschlichkeit. It starts with being an idle person. And that was the test that Eliezer was looking for. He was looking for a girl. If she's a balas chesed, then everything will follow suit. And indeed, we find Rav Chaim Vital and Shari Kedusha points out that we learn ki hanava vashiflus vevim de ruach hakodesh v'sharav shchina. What brings onto a person the divine providence and ruach hakodesh? It's humility. It's shiflus. That's what brings it on. It's not, you know, studying and learning all day. And he goes on to say, Rav Chaim Vital, v'nimsah ki yoter in ten tzarif livzaher mimidas haros yoter min kiyum mitzvah naseh v'lo taseh. Our focus really has to be, as bad as averos are, and as important as mitzvahs are, averos, you can do tshuva. You can say, I did wrong, and change. But your midos are entrenched in you. Our focus, obviously one has to do mitzvahs and stay away from averos. Axiom. At the same time, when we do not put enough emphasis, and we need to put enough emphasis, more emphasis on it, is on our midos. And the perfect example of this is in source number 12. We know the first base of Mikdash, the first temple, was destroyed because we did these three major cardinal sins of avodah zara, idolatry, giloy raos, immorality, shefil stami, murder. But we were only in Golos for 70 years. The second base of Mikdash, we were learning Torah, we were involved in, but we had the bad Midos, we had Sinas Chinam, we had baseless hatred, and now we're still in Golos, thousands of years later. We see the severity of working on what's Midos and how important it is. Okay. So I understand that we have to look for a girl of midos, clearly, and that has to be our focus, and that Emunah will be the byproduct of good midos, granted. However, the question becomes, Ava Madua, source 13, back to Rev Rivlin, Madua Dasko, Midah Chesed. There are a lot of great midos. There's Adinus HaNefesh, there's sensitivity, there's calmness. Why is Chesed the quintessential Midah that is chosen? Why was that what Eliezer was looking for? The nearest Eliezer Hevin, on the simplest level, Eliezer understood, Shemidat HaChesed, he shoresh kol amidos. Chesed is the root of all the midos. And this is very similar to when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai asked his students, go out and find the best way, the best path, Yidbat Ba'adam, that a person should cling to. And Rabbi Zar ben Arach says, Lev Tov, a good heart. And his Rebbe said, Ro'eni et Rav, his answer is all inclusive of everything you said, a good eye, a good friend, etc. Because a lev tov, a good heart, is the core. And when a person is a balas chesed, when a person gives to others, that is the reflection of somebody with a good heart, with this character trait. Further, we know, and we've spoken about this at length in the past, that Rav Shimon Shkop in his Hakdama to the Sefer Sharei Yosher speaks about why were we created on planet Earth, right? What are we doing here? What's our purpose? And he answers very simply, Lehetiv in Zuloso, to benefit others. We're here to bring benefit for other people. So he develops this, widen your tent, Rabbi Berger, but is it actually viable in 14 squiggly to say the entire Torah boils down to how we treat others? How about many mitzvahs like Shabbos, Tefillah, don't they imply a different picture? So he brings the Medrash, which says, and Rabbi Lazar said, what does it mean that it's written, Pia Patra v'chochma v'toras chesel, Lashona, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and a Torah of loving kindness is on her tongue? Is there a Torah of kindness and a Torah that's not a loving kindness? Rather, it's a Torah for its own sake, that's a Torah of loving kindness. And if Torah is not for its own sake, it is a Torah of not of loving kindness. According to Rabbi Eliezer, Torah lishma, Torah for its own sake, means Torah study that leads one to loving kindness. Despite any appearances, it's really all about developing loving kindness. And this is really reflected in that most amazing line that Rav Itzala, the Lushner, writes in his Akdama, when he writes up his father's writings, the Nefesh HaChaim. So his introduction, he would routinely rebuke me because he saw I do not share in the pain of others. This he would constantly tell me, that the entire person was not created for himself, but to be assistant to other, whatever he finds to be in his ability to do. And this is like the refrigerator bolt magnet line. Shezeh kola adam lo la'atzmo nivra rak lo il lachrine. Why are we here? Lo il lachrine, to help somebody else out. That's the bottom line. So when we ask, well, why is it that chesed is chosen from all the midos that we could possibly have? The answer is very simple. Because this is why we're on planet Earth. Hashem created us to be a giving people. Hashem created us to look for opportunities to give and to share and to help others, lehetiv im zulaso, to benefit other people. This is the whole existence, of a whole reason for our existence. So therefore, when Eliezer is looking for a wife for Yitzchak Avinu, who's going to be the second one of the Imahos? Who's going to be setting up the genetic DNA for all of us until today? He's looking for somebody who embodies this aspect. This is the chesed compatibility idea number one, that this will be the perfect person to be the aim, to be the person who's going to be the next mother, one of the Imahos of Klal Yisrael. Just to take this deeper, Eliezer is dafka looking for chesed, which we said is the fundamental character trait, because this was really the Mida he saw as being the essential Mida from Avraham Avinu. And that's why when Eliezer is looking, well, what would be the best fit for somebody in Avraham Avinu's family? He looks to Avraham Avinu and says, well, what is his quintessential quality? And I want to find someone who's going to mirror that. And we all know the Medrash, that when Avraham Avinu, last week's Parsha, it's at the third day of the Brit Milah, and the sun is out in its full force, and there are no guests. He says to Eliezer, go look for guests. And Eliezer looks around and he says, but there are no guests. Now, if there are no guests, why are you looking for guests? Unless you're a person who loves chesed. If you love chesed, you're not just going to sit around waiting for guests. You're going to look for guests. That desire to do chesed, that desire to give to others is what Eliezer is testing out in here as well. V'zeh matzah b'Rivka, in the Aaron 16, she'asah ha'chesed gam ma'kom shalo yobat tzarech m'kabel. Here too, Avraham Avinu is looking for guests when he doesn't have to do anything. He doesn't have to give them. He's not obligated to chesed if there's no one to receive. Likewise here, Rivka Yemenu doesn't have to do this chesed. Eliezer and 10 strong men are standing there. They could easily draw water for their animals. There's no need for chesed here. It's above and beyond. V'hainu, double underline, mechamat ritzona lehetiv mitzad atzma ukminatel shel Avraham. What he sees here is the desire to give, even if a person doesn't need to receive. There's that wiring, there's that drive that I need to be a giver to others. And the Moshe continues in 17, Hinei kol ra'eh mishtomei mimida rechesed shel Rivka. She was either 3 years old, some people say 14 years old, whatever it was. And she doesn't recognize this person. And according to, again, the Medrash, she stands on her tippy toes and pours the water into his mouth. I mean, he can't even feed himself. She does this without any complaints. She does this because this is what she wants to do. V'Gaon Rav Isaac shares that tzal, Hochiach Mizeh. Rav Yitzchak Isaac Sher learned from this, Shirivka Ita Kokach Lo Hata Lo Sot Chesed. She was so driven to do chesed, she didn't even pay attention that there were people there who could have helped her. U'Ba'ofen Zer Re'en Otein. So this is the greatness of Rivka Yemenu. What was Eliezer looking for? He was looking for a model, not just of chesed, which is again the foundational midah, but the model of chesed in Avraham Avinu style. That's chesed compatibility. One who's so driven to do chesed that you're just going. Rav Nevenzel adds on this. He says, what was driving Rivka Yemenu? A mitzvah of this sort doesn't come to you every day. To feed 10 camels, wow, what an opportunity. One who's wired with such a passion for chesed, that's the person who's worthy to be in this house of chesed of Avraham Avinu. More than you even need. Now, where did Avraham Avinu learn this from? 19. From where do they know that you should push yourself above and beyond and just be like wildly crazy about chesed? So he says, okay, I grant you, someone needs something, I help them out. But if there's no need, I'm still pushing myself to do like that above and beyond. Gam kishu yachol yistadir biladav, and you can manage without it. Mitbonenu b'darchei Hashem yadua hi she'ad kama she'machshevet Hashem mitzdayer b'tzichlo. Harei she'Hashem barat ha'olam kedei leitiv l'barav. What's really the driving force behind chesed in Avraham Avinu's mind and Rivka Yemenu's mind is in matati odeo. It's not about me. It's not about them. It's about emulating the Ribono Shel Olam. Why did Hashem create the world? And again, Hashem didn't have a need. So the language we're even asking the question is a limited language. This was a desire of Hashem. She'ifa ein sofit laso chesed. Hashem kivyachol just wanted to do chesed. And therefore, if there's nobody to do chesed with, Hashem creates people. And he creates animals. And he creates flowers. And he creates, why? Kedei she'yei miligwal chesed. In order to do chesed with them. Kedei she'yafshar leitiv lohem peruchnius megashmi. It's kol chalufi madregaso. And that's what Hashem is continuously doing with us all day. And we have to appreciate that. That Hashem is giving us bountiful amount of chesed. Nimsa, therefore, shashifa lo so chesed. The desire, the drive to do chesed. Eina novat minat tzorech shel mekabel lekabel. It's not coming from the receiver who needs. Ela min haratzon shel notein latein. But from the giver who wants to give. Ha chesed tzorech ishi shelo. This is a personal need. Even the person can manage themselves. What will be with me? How can I fill that lack in me? Because my lack is I want to fill being a godlike person. And in order to be a godlike person, I need to be a giver. And with this we can appreciate, you know, and again, there's a lot of Torah on all the chesed that Rivka Yemenu did, and there's so many small details to learn from. One of them, which is very fascinating, is, again, the nuances of the word. It says in the double squiggly in 21, Vataratz Od El Haba'er. She ran again to the well. That idea of again. Rav Rivlin points out, and we see this from the Chumash, that we have to know the way the well was situated. Who was the ones that were able to be right around the well? Those with koach, those with strength, those who were the big henchmen. If you didn't rate along those lines, so then you had to like wait your turn to get near the well. Eliezer, who is a guest, has no way to get his camels right by the well to feed them. They were parked a distance up. So not only is she running to fill up for 10, you know, camels, she's running back and forth. She has a distance to go. And most people say, this is just not worth it. This is the greatness of Rivka Imenu. Now, I want to take this idea of the chesed of Avravinu, the chesed of Rivka Imenu, the chesed of Imitati Odeo, the chesed of going out of your way, running back and forth when it's not convenient, one step further. And that's from the Nomovitzka Rebbe Zatzal. Oh, what a beautiful sefer on Chumash, where he says the following. In last week's parsha, we have the Torah telling us what was the greatness of Avraham Avinu. And the Chumash tells us because he commands his children and his household after him that they keep the ways of the way of Hashem, doing charity and justice. So we see from here, what was Avraham Avinu's chesed? He did chesed not because it's a socially accepted thing to do, or even because he was a nice guy person, but because it was the derech, the way of Hashem. He did it because he understood that to follow in the path of Hashem himself, so to speak, is to cling to Hashem and connect to him in the closest way possible for a human being. Avraham understood the importance of chesed by studying the ways of the world and seeing Hashem's infinite chesed. Right? Ki amarti olam chesed yibane. This practice of Avraham Avinu that he instituted in his family was transformed into this mitzvah called Va'alachta B'drachav, following in Hashem's ways. Now look at the pasuk so carefully. What does the Torah say regarding Avraham Avinu as a transmitter of ethical values? Hashem says of him, because he commands his children, his household after him, to keep the way of Hashem, Derech Hashem, doing charity and justice. Sukkah and Mishpat are universal concepts. Aside about these principles is a jungle. But Avraham Avinu did not teach it as a mere derech eretz. It's a nice thing to do. It's socially appropriate. He taught it as the derech Hashem, the path of Hashem. It's because Hashem is a king. He's melech oev stuckel mishpat, the king who loves righteousness and justice, that we, the talmidim of Avraham Avinu, strive to live lives of righteousness and justice. It's with this attitude we practice these virtues. And that's the mindset that we need to have. Indeed. The Omosha quotes the Pachad Yitzchak Rav Futner Zatzal and says that we don't have a bracha for doing chesed, and there are many reasons why. However, he says, if we were to have a bracha in doing chesed, we really should have two brachas, one on the mitzvah itself that we're doing, and of following in Hashem's ways, and the second, likanes v'brito shalom ravino, like we say by a bris, like we enter into the covenant of Avraham Avinu. That's what chesed is. Chesed is emulating b'sha'ash anu mizdakikim linya chesed, when we have the opportunity to do a chesed, aleinu la'ir nafshenu, bo'ram chol shnei brachos olalu. We should think about these brachos of following and emulating Hashem's ways, and of following the ways of Avraham Avinu. And this is the mindset that we need to have. He goes on in 24, 25, telling the famous story we've spoken about before, Rav Shvadron, who's taking his little kid to the doctor one day, and he meets Rav Isaac, Yitzchak Isaac Sher, who just quoted Slobodka Rosh Yeshiva, and he says to him, where are you going? So he says, I'm going to take my child to the doctor. So he says, so you're like an animal caring for your children. And he says, what's going on here? He says, what's different between you and an animal? An animal also takes care of its children. He says, you have to understand what you're doing is a mitzvah of chesed. And the fact is, it is your child. But it's emulating God to take care of others. Now we can appreciate the chesed ve'emes, 27. Back to Novinsky Rebbe. This can be understood according to the concept we discussed at length in the previous parsha. The chesed that Avraham Avinu performed and taught was not simply derech eretz, it was derech Hashem, the way of Hashem. Eliezer saw a girl with the same midos that he had seen in his master's home, so he davened that Hashem showed with infinite chesed, he could quickly find the right match. But when Eliezer saw that not only had Rivka done chesed graciously, but she had run to do it, and as we just mentioned, she had to run a distance to do it, the Farshim asked, why was she rushing? So he said, one approach is because she understood that chesed is a mitzvah, and that should be done with zrizus. One runs to do a mitzvah. So it wasn't just that she was doing an act of chesed. Rivka understood. understood this is emulating Hashem. Rivka understood that this is a mitzvah. I need to grab this mitzvah. I need to grab this opportunity. Now Eliezer saw that the chesed of Rivka was accompanied by the MS, the ultimate truth, the end of 27. Torah and mitzvahs. That is why he explained the Asim chesed v'emes, the chesed of Torah semes that Rivka had performed. It's not just enough to do chesed. There's a Torah's chesed. And Torah's chesed is doing this because this is a mitzvah to be performed. And indeed, Sefer, we've quoted a lot recently, Rav Garfinkel in Kasher Tziva Hashem. He notes, if a person does an act of kindness, but has no intent to do it l'shei mitzvah, right, for the sake of a commandment, v'haftarecha kamocha, v'halachta b'drocha, following in Hashem's ways, it is only considered to be a pu'ula tova, a good deed. A good deed is a merit, and Hashem will certainly reward the person who does it. There is, however, a tremendous difference between a good deed and a mitzvah. Kavana is what transforms a good deed into a mitzvah. And this is so important, my friends, that we have to be able to take that level of good deed and move it up a notch with the mindset, I am emulating the Ribono Shel Olam, who is a giver. I am following in the footsteps of Avraham Avinu, the Derech Hashem, the path of Hashem, that what's motivating me to do these acts of kindness is not just because it's a nice thing to do, I'm a nice person, it's a socially acceptable thing to do, I'm doing this as a mitzvah. I'm doing this as a way of emulating the Ribono Shel Olam. And when a person has that mindset, that a person is going to be a person who's going to look for opportunities of chesed and stretch themselves. Because if chesed is just a socially acceptable thing, so then, you know, if I'm not in the mood or nobody's around and nobody really knows the difference, so then, you know, I can wheedle my way out of it. But if I understand the imperative is that much greater, then there's a greater push for me to do this. Rav Lubi brings down in source 29, the Gemara states, one who does charity and performs justice considered fulfill the entire world with kindness. The Pasuk states, he loved charity and justice. The kindness of Hashem fills the world. Should you assume that anyone who wishes to leap to act charitable do kindness, Rashi adds, can leap? Therefore, the Pasuk says, how precious is your kindness, Hashem, and what must be attentive, toil, and run after. And again, Rashi adding that Gemara on the Gemara. What does the meaning of this ambiguous Gemara? Is it truly that difficult to perform acts of kindness? Every time someone knocks on our door for stucco and we donate, have we not just performed an act of charity and kindness? To accomplish true chesed, one must really apply himself. The first step is to be attentive, to take notice, and understand what another truly lacks. Then he must toil to determine how to fill that need. Sometimes accepting is more difficult than giving, because people often do not want to take from others, and one must devise a plan how to give without causing the recipient to feel uncomfortable. Finally, one must run after the kindness to make sure that one does it, in fact, gets done. And kindness is not restricted to monetary donations. A smile can uplift somebody. Rivka's act was a quintessential chesed. Eliezer searched for a wife for Rivka, for Yitzchak. He prepared a test in order to have sustained the girl in question be worthy of joining the house of Avraham Avinu. The title Balas Chesed is reserved for one who has the ability to discern what is needed without the request being made and to fulfill that need. Although Eliezer only asked for a drink for himself, Rivka, with her perceptiveness, was able to detect that his many camels would also use a drink, and she hurried to perform that chesed. If you're really interested in chesed, to emulate the Ribono Shel Olam, you're going to look into the depth of a situation and try to figure out what is it that needs to be done, and how can I fill this. And that's why he says, the Hebrew, the Shirei Chumash, that chesed means ribui, means expansiveness. When a person gives money to an ani, that's derech eretz, that's the correct thing to do. But that's not showing you your bal staka. Bal staka gives more than one is asked. One understands what is it that the person is really asking. So, for example, Rav Volbi points out that Eliezer asked, you have a makom lalin, which means one night. And she answered, gam makom lalun, kavalino. You just came from a long journey. One night isn't going to be enough, right? She didn't know kasa lavaderach, that the ground, you know, contracted for him. You've just been through a long journey in the desert, right? Camels. you can't go back right away. You know, you're one night, you're to pack up the next day. No. She understood from the fact that there are 10 animals who are so hungry that they just had a long journey and that they need time to rest. Maybe two nights, maybe three nights. And that's why she offers more than one night. That's the key of what Chesed is about. It's about being able to perceive what a person needs, as well as the Bet Melech adds in Source 30. How you speak when you give the Chesed is also important. Hanara mishiva l'bakashata b'ma nerach u'b'mor panim. She answers softly, Shte Adoni, my master, and v'gam l'gmalech hashav, in a soft, kind, giving type of way. These small things make up a big person. L'titchel Yonah 32 brings Rav Chaim Witzker, who says, Shamasa yom nam katan. It was a small act, but it had tremendous ripple effects. And this is so much different than what we're used to thinking. Shekein b'derech klal nidat in 32. We normally think, if you want to know about the greatness of a person, you have to talk about the great things a person does. But in the small things a person does, what are they worth? But really, my friends, small acts of a great person take on a whole different persona. I was just reading about Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal. There were so many great stories of a woman who's waiting outside door to speak to him, and she's waiting a while. And a person says, "So, what's your pressing question that you're waiting for Rav Moshe?" She says, "Well, I got a letter, I believe it was from her sister from Russia, and it's all in Russian, and I want Rav Moshe to translate it." So this person says, "You're bothering the Gadol Hador to translate a letter from you?" Right, this is before Google Translate. Yeah, a letter from you, from your sister in Russian? That's what you're bothering the Gadol Hador? And she looks at him and saying, like with a quizzical face, like, what's the problem? He's been doing this for me the last 20 years. That's a great person who does small things. And there's a great line here. Listen to this. Of Chai Shulevitz, Rosh Yeshivas Mir Zatzal would say, he's more interested in rather hear stories, small stories about great people than big stories about small people. What a lie. My friends, just to summarize this first level, we know that the end of the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, we begin Shemoneh Esrei, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, the God of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Each one of them had their special traits. Hakel, Hagadol, the godless, the kindness, the chesed of Avram Avinu. Hagibor, the strength, Gvura, Yitzchak Avinu. Vanora, Emes of Yaakov Avinu. And yet, we end the first bracha, we end it, Baruch Atah Hashem, Magen Avraham. What about Magen Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? So the answer, many answers given. One is the Pintliyid, that story we just mentioned, right? Don't break the chain of Avraham Avinu if you know nothing about it. That's a Pintliyid. There's another answer as well that Rav Alef gives, we've seen this before as well, is that at the time of Ikusa de Mashiach, Torah is going to be struggling. We won't have a Sanhedrin, we don't have the High Court. Avoda will also struggle. We don't have the Korbanos, we don't have the Beis Hamikdash and the sacrifices. All that is left in its full intensity, 33 in the asterisk, is the attribute of Avraham Avinu, chesed, kindness. And in the merit of Jews performing acts of kindness for one another, we'll be redeemed. As it says, Siyo b'mishpat tipadeh v'shaveh b'tztaka. Zion redeemed with justice and will return through acts of tztaka. My friends, this is the mindset that I had the siyata d'shmaya to choose this particular topic. We are now, in the time of Ikvus of Mashiach, as we've spoken about in the last few weeks, we are at the time, and we're hearing it from all these different sources. When will it exactly be? Who knows? But this is major. What's going on here is not simple. We're living in very, very intense times. What can we do to expedite the Geula? What is our responsibility? So obviously, Torah is a major responsibility, and Tefillah is a major responsibility, and we've spoken about those in the past. Another major responsibility is Magen Avraham, is to emulate Avraham Avinu, and to emulate Amarvinu. And this is what we see. The amount of outpouring of chesed that we have seen in the last few weeks is unparalleled. And our responsibility, wherever we are, whatever situation we're in, is, I think, twofold. One is to have the mindset that I'm doing this act of chesed. I'm packing, you know, food for soldiers. I'm packing supplies. Whatever I'm doing this va'alach de bedrachav. I'm doing this to emulate the Ribbono Shel Olam. We need to have that kavana in this mitzvah. We need to bring the Ribbono Shel Olam up close center in our lives. A. B. We need to be able to learn smart chesed. We need to be able to see and ask ourselves, what is it that I can do best for me and my kochos hanefesh and my resources to be able to help people out? So I see there are a zillion people who are packing for soldiers, and each soldier should have such protection, and the needs are very great. Are there people who are collecting in my community for the almost million people who are left homeless? Who have nowhere to live and didn't bring more than just literally the what they could pack in a car or put on their back. And there are families of many, many children who don't have the basic supplies and the winter clothes, and some people don't even have shelter. Is that a need that I could look into organizations like we have Ezros Achim and Ramat Beit Shemesh, Ramat Achai, look into organizations that are helping these refugees to be able to set up home? A friend of mine was telling me last week that she lives in England, and half the year in England, half the year here. They gave their home to a very big family from the south, and she said these people are paying for the electricity and the water. And someone asked them, how can you pay for electricity and water in two homes? They said, this is what we need to do. This is our chesed. So this is where we need to stretch ourselves to A, emulate the Ribbono Shel Olam doing this, and B, to be able to really perceive what is the need. What can I do? Where can I best be able to give in order to help everyone and see who needs help, who needs on the ground, who needs what, and be able to fill that need, even if no one asks you. Do the research, be able to get into whatever your specialty is, to be able to give to those who need and really help. And there's so many families who need roofs over their heads and need basic supplies. Our focus cannot be to ignore them as well. So my friends, that's idea number one. We're doing a great job. Halavai Viter. We should just continue. We should have the strength, and we should be able to see the geula mamish quickly in this schutz of chesed. Let's briefly look at, very briefly, two other ideas of why dafka chesed and why it's chesed emes. So Rav Rivlin brings down the idea of marriage, right? This is the Shachin Parsha, and all the Sfarim speak about when you're looking for a spouse, you need to look for three things. Midos, midos, and midos. Being a mensch, a mensch, a mensch, a good person, good person, good person. Think three things. So we know when Adam HaRishon was created, it says in 34, Lo Tovei Adam Levado, it's not good for man to be alone. Asa Lo Ezer Kenegdo. So the famous, I will make him a Ezer, a helpmate, Kenegdo, against him. So the famous Gemara is, if he's worthy, he'll have a woman who's a helpmate. If he's not worthy, she'll be Kenegdo, she'll be against him. However, the Netziv, and this is the bracket of 35, double underline, understands it differently. It doesn't say Ezer o Kenegdo, either or. It says Ezer, Kenegdo. It uses both expressions. So explains the Netziv, Shekavana, Shanigud, Yel Ezer. Being his opposite, that's the best help she can be. You ever heard the idea of opposites attract? That comes from the Chumash itself. That when you have two different people, that combination is what creates wholeness. Im zacha, says the Maral, mitchabrim b'koach echad legamrei. Ki kol shnei hafachim mitchabrim b'koach echad kasherim zofim. When you're worthy, the two opposites are able to come together in perfect uniformity. And this was what Eliezer knew. He knew that the Midah of Yitzchak Avinu was the Midah of Gvura, was the Midah of withholding. So therefore he understood. We understand that Avravinu was Chesed. Rivka, Saring Menu was the counter. Garesha Tamazal Thebana, get rid of her, right? Like, you know, you need to have some Gvura, otherwise you're just unabounded Chesed. Yitzchak Avinu was Chesed, was Gvura. Yitzchak Avinu was pure din, judgment. Eliezer knew that Rivka had to be the counterbalance. Why was this the test? Because this is the question of compatibility. The Chesed compatibility would make her compatible to Yitzchak Avinu, who was din. And you needed this, as the Chesed Sofer points out, the Shulchan Aruch 36 and 37 points out, because Yitzchak Avinu felt that one should study Torah, serve Hashem with any need for material earthly matters, and bless Esav that he would be the one supporting Yaakov Avinu. Rivka, who understood in Chesed that no, Yaakov Avinu also needs Olam Hazeh. He also needs the physical world. And if it's just going to be pure din of what you think is right, the world's going to come to a crash. The balance of Rivka Imenu to Yitzchak Avinu enabled Yaakov Avinu to get the bracha. You need to mitigate the din, the strict justice, with kindness. What was the result of this marriage? The result of this marriage is, next page 38, is, hence he prayed we bless one to help him with a fine woman embodying chesed, so that their union would produce Yaakov personifying Emes, a combination of din and rachamim. So now when he found her, he said, Hashem, do a chesed for me. Allow me to find this woman. Now that he found this woman, he said, now that I found this woman, thank you, Hashem, who has not withheld his kindness and truth. The kindness that I found this woman who personifies kindness and truth. As a result of finding such a woman who's the epitome of chesed, which will be the counterbalance of the epitome of din, I now know that the MS, the truth, the combination, the synthesis in their child will actually come to the fore. So why did Eliezer look for chesed? On the first level, he was looking for somebody who was going to emulate the Midah of Avravinu, to follow in Hashem's ways, and chesed, the foundation of this world. And he saw that she did this, not just because she was a nice person, but the way she did it, she understood she's doing it because this is emulating the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's the Torah's MS. It's the chesed and MS. It's going beyond chesed. It's doing it because this is the way, the Derech Hashem, the way of Hashem. On the second level, what was Eliezer looking for? He was looking for the Ezer Kenegdo, the perfect wife. You know, as Rav Rivlin says, if you have a husband who likes to fly off the handle, and the wife flies off the handle with him, at the moment, they're having a great time flying off the handle. But afterwards, it's a mess. He'd rather, even though it's uncomfortable for him, to have a wife to calm him down, and that way to achieve equilibrium and balance. And this is what Eliezer was looking for. The compatibility needed to be in chesed, because Yitzchak Avinu's Midah was gvura, was din, was strength. And now that he found Rivka Imenu, he's now turns to Hashem and said, not only have I found Rivka Imenu, but now I am sure that the product of both of these together will be MS, will be the truth of Titein Emes LeYaakov, of the birth of their son, of Yaakov Avinu. The final level, and this is going to take this into a whole different direction with a few minutes that we have left. Why chesed? So very little Rav Lopiansky Golden Apples has written about Yitzchak Avinu's deeds, especially in comparison to our detailed narratives of Avram and Yaakov's lives. This quote-unquote lack of action may stem from the fact that Yitzchak's unique attribute was din or yira. This midah, by its very nature, is expressed more often in restraint than in action. Although yira is a very important quality in its own right, when seeking to understand Yitzchak's role in Klal Yisrael, you must view him as a continuation of Avram, and his midah of din as a complement to Avram's almost opposite quality of chesed. To begin understanding this dynamic, let's take a closer look at the world of chesed. Being a selfless, giving person is certainly a most wonderful attribute. But chesed has a downside. It makes the taker almost irrelevant. He does not do anything to deserve the money, object, or favor that's done for him in essence. He's an undeserving recipient. Although that which he receives becomes his in a legal sense, it's not his in an essential sense of the word. It is not something he earned. Hashem created the world with midas hadin so that our accomplishments in this world would be deserved, and we would truly feel that they are our own. Receiving kindness from a human being operates in the same way. The more we feel that we have provided some service or value for which we receive, the more we're able to accept it with dignity. And that's why the Rambam writes, the highest level of tzedakah is to be able to get a person to work on its own. 40. Yitzchak, as a continuation of Avram, helped refine his father's chesed by adding the appropriate modicum of din. He sought to benefit people in a way that would enable them to feel that they had earned it, rather than leaving them to feel that they were on the taking end of a one-sided endowment. Therefore, when Eliezer set out to find a spouse for Yitzchak, he sought someone who would fit that persona, giving others through din. This meant finding a spouse who would give, but only within the limits of what the recipient needed and desired. Discerning that limit is not simple. We've all been faced with the host plying us with food or drink we do not want. It may be a sign of the host's kindness, but it leaves the guest feeling irrelevant, as if his desires don't matter. Rivka's kindness would express itself by satisfying the needs and desires of the guest. For in Yitzchak's brand of chesed, it is the recipient's needs that are important, not the chesed desire of the giver. So on the one hand, we need the chesed desire of the giver in order for her to be the Ezer Kenegdo. And in order for her to counterbalance Yitzchak's deen, we need that. At the same time, my friends, for there to be compatibility between a husband and wife, they have to be able to see also eye to eye. There has to be enough that is similar that they're able to connect with that. And that's the greatness of Rivka Imenu. On the one hand, she was the Ezer Kenegdo. On the one hand, she was the quintessential giver, not worrying about the receiver. And on the other hand, she had the ability to appreciate the receiver as well. She was able to tap into the din of Yitzchak Avinu. How do we see that? This provides the answer to a seeming incongruity. Why did Rivka readily accept the gifts Eliezer bestowed upon her when she offered to fetch water from his candles, thus passing the chesed test? Shouldn't a true Baal's chesed refuse payment for a deed? No. The fact that she takes the money, that blows the whole chesed you've done. Rav Yitzchak Isaac Scheer explained that Rivka noticed that Eliezer was a wealthy man, and she understood that he'd be a lot more comfortable paying for the favors rather than accepting them gratis. Accordingly, it was a greater and truer chesed for her to accept the payment rather than to refuse it. As Rav Yitzchak Isaac Scheer would say, a person doesn't mind doing even big favors for others as long as others understand it is he who is doing the chesed for them. And the Das Torah, Rav Yerucham in 42, in Parshat Vayikra, speaks about this. He said, some people, when they do chesed, they don't want anything in return because they want the person to be beholden to them. And that is very, very bad mitos. And he says, Im chafetz ata betovato be'emet, if you really are interested in doing kindness for somebody else, re'e gam l'sader ki chavercha lo yisher chayav l'cha karas atov, make sure that he doesn't feel indebted to you, and ask him to do you some type of favor. So, you don't have to do anything. It's my schus to be able to help you out. Then that person feels like, ugh, I'm a taker and I'm worth nothing. The greatness of Rivka Imenu was that she took the jewelry. It's to be able to have that component of din and chesed. And that's the message we also need to learn, that to be a giver par excellence is wonderful. But know that chesed and din have to come together into MS. And that's why Eliezer, when he sees that she takes the item, says, now you've shown me chesed and MS, that she has that quality of din, she has that synthesis, that she doesn't want me to feel like, ugh, what a schlepper you are, you're sitting here and watching for hours, but it makes me feel good that I've paid for it. That when we do a chesed for somebody, ask them for a small kindness in return. You know, could you call somebody for me? Could you do something for me? And in that way, they feel in some way they've paid you back and don't feel as indebted. And that, being able to see that combination of chesed and emet, that was the great chesed compatibility, and that is what Eliezer was looking for. Not someone who would just be the opposite of Yitzchak Avinu, but someone who could appreciate the quality of Yitzchak Avinu and have it already integrated into who and what they are. My friends, during this time, this is our calling. Emulate the Ribono Shel Olam. Be a person of chesed. Be a person who gives to be able to serve Hashem. And at the same time, when we give, if possible, look for opportunities that a person can show their appreciation. And in that way, we have that beautiful balance of chesed and din, which leads to emes, which is a perfect compatibility of chesed.